Welcome to Sermons from San Diego, a podcast of preaching at Mission Hills United Church of Christ. I'm the Reverend Dr. David Barr, but please just call me David. I invite you to listen and come along as we try to follow the teachings of Jesus and the wisdom of Scripture to build a world that is open, inclusive, just, and compassionate. And now for this week's sermon, based on John 13, in our continuing story of Peter. 2 weeks after Cardinal Jorge Bergoglio became Pope Francis in March 2013, he shocked and scandalized the world by his choice of whose feet to wash in the annual Maundy Thursday ritual. Prior to Francis, popes in modern times had only washed the feet of priests, meaning all men, and within the ornate spaces of the Vatican. But on his first Maundy Thursday as Pope, Francis went to a juvenile detention center in Rome and washed and kissed the feet of 12 young people, including 2 women and 2 Muslims. Though unprecedented for a modern pope, in 2001, when he was Archbishop of Buenos Aires, Francis went to a hospice to wash and kiss the feet of people living with AIDS. In 2005, he went to a maternity hospital. And in 2008, he washed and kissed the feet of 12 people in a drug rehab center. It would only be the first of many times people were unhappy with this radical cleric. Peter was also shocked and horrified, scandalized by such an idea, that he refused to allow Jesus to wash his feet. "You will never wash my feet," Peter declared. He and his disciples watched as Jesus got up from the table, took off his robes, and tied a linen cloth around his waist. Jesus poured water into a wash basin and one by one began to wash the feet of his disciples. Reversing the roles. Imagine the honored guest at a banquet getting on his or her knees to take on the most humble of tasks. But just 6 days earlier, there had been another scandalous foot washing. Gathered around the supper table, the disciples watched as Mary, the sister of Martha, the one who probably cooked that meal, they watched as Mary entered the room with a bottle of very expensive perfume, so expensive it cost the equivalent of a year's wages. She opened the bottle, startling their nostrils and filling the room with a powerful scent. And then she loosened her hair, bent down in front of Jesus, rubbed perfume on his feet, and then wiped his feet with her hair. Judas questioned the expense, a waste of money, he claimed, but Jesus praised Mary. "Leave her alone. She bought this for my burial." While the other disciples still refused to believe Jesus would be soon killed, Mary listened and had been busy preparing for it. The next morning, Jesus rode into Jerusalem on a donkey while people waved palm branches and shouted, "Hosanna!" Crowds gathered around him then while he taught, "Unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains only a single grain. But if it dies, it will bear much fruit. Those who love their lives will lose them. But if you let it go, you will have it forever." He was teaching about the necessity of his own death. And so, here we are, 6 days earlier, supper at Mary and Martha's, enter into Jerusalem the next morning, and now it's a few days later, and Jesus knew the time had come. Because his disciples had repeatedly proven they couldn't comprehend his teachings, he decided to teach them by example. So he got up from the table, took off his robes. The disciples stopped chatting about the events of the day. He took a linen cloth around his waist. What is he doing? Why is he pouring water into the wash basin? Why is he getting on the ground? But no one dared question what he was doing, all thinking, no, no, not you, Lord. This was something only a servant did. And then when Jesus came around to him, ever impulsive Peter demanded that Jesus will never wash his feet. Rebuffed, and always with a flair for the dramatic, he then told Jesus to not only wash his feet, but his hands and his head too. But Peter missed the point. This isn't a lesson in hygiene, it's a lesson in humility. This is how my followers are to act. And when he finished, Jesus put on his robes, returned to his place at the table, and asked them, "Do you know what I've done for you?" Peter wisely chose to say nothing. "If I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you too must wash each other's feet. I have given you an example. Just as I have done, you also must do." And then, after all this shock and scandal, he revealed to the group an even more shocking scandal, that one of them would betray him. The disciples looked around at each other with horror. Who would do such a thing? Jesus replied, "The one who takes this bread." And just then Judas took the bread. And Jesus told him, "Go do quickly what you are about to do." When Judas left the room, Jesus reiterated again that he would only be with them a little while longer. And so he said, "I give you a new commandment. Love each other. Just as I have loved you, so you also must love each other. This is how everyone will know that you are my disciples, when you love each other." Peter asked, "But where are you going?" Jesus told him he couldn't follow him now, but he could later. "But Lord, I want to follow you now. I'll give up my life for you." "But not so quickly, Peter. Before the rooster crows, you're going to deny me 3 times. And with that, the curtain closes and the chapter comes up to an end. But back up a minute. So, do you realize Judas was at the table when Jesus washed the feet of his disciples? Even though he knew exactly what would happen very soon, Jesus washed the feet of Judas too. This point was made by George Marion McClelland. George was a black congregational minister born in 1860. He has an interesting story. George studied at Fisk University in Nashville, which is a school started by congregational missionaries who followed right behind the Union Army and set up schools on what had been battlegrounds. And it's a school still related to the UCC. George graduated in 1885 and started work as a minister in Louisville, Kentucky, while also studying for what we now call a Master of Divinity at the Congregational Seminary in Hartford, Connecticut. George was a published poet and author of short prose, while at the same time teaching Latin and English, before becoming a high school principal, too. He's a busy guy. But I wanted to give his background before reading his beautiful poem. So he's born in a time of slavery. He was raised during the hope of Reconstruction, hopes that were crushed when the federal government turned their back and gave free rein to the former enslavers to terrorize those who dared to live free. And yet, McClellan wrote, Christ washed the feet of Judas. The dark and evil passions of his soul, the secret plot and sordidness complete, his hate, his purposing, Christ knew the whole. And still in love, he stooped and washed his feet. Christ washed the feet of Judas, and thus a girded servant, self-abased, taught that no wrong this side of the gate of heaven was ever too great to wholly be effaced, and though unasked, in spirit be forgiven. And so if ever we have felt wrong, of trampled rights, of caste, it matters not. Wherever the soul has felt or suffered long, O heart, this one thing should not be forgot. Christ, wash the feet of Judas. These words were kind of controversial then, as they are controversial still, because they could be seen as excusing those who enslaved in the past or who persecute today. And yet, even so, his poem really causes us to consider, how far did Jesus mean to go? Jesus taught, you have heard it said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say, love your enemies. God gives the sun for warmth and nourishing rain to everyone, the good and bad, the nice and nasty, and if all you do is love the lovable, do you expect a bonus? Anybody can do that. If you simply say hello to those who greet you, do you expect a medal? Any run-of-the-mill sinner does that. In a word, what I'm saying is grow up. Live generously and graciously toward others the way God lives toward you. So, what does it mean to follow Jesus? We're looking at this text. What did he teach by his own example? Christianity is about service, not doctrine. We're called to humility and sacrificial love, not power. We're invited to be vulnerable, not controlling. You know, having one's feet washed feels very vulnerable, and few people are comfortable with the practice. But it is just as sacramental as communion. In fact, for John, this is communion. This is the Last Supper. In John, there are no words of institution involving bread and wine. In the first three Gospels, we remember Jesus by eating and drinking together. In the Gospel of John, we remember Jesus by following his example to serve one another by washing one another's feet. You know, those who have never had this experience could come on Maundy Thursday and choose, if you wish, to participate in a foot washing. I know it's uncomfortable and makes us feel vulnerable. And so it's only an option during the service, but it's worth considering as we seek to deepen our faith. Vulnerability, humility, sacrificial love. Some are trying to make Christianity in America more powerful and dominant over society. As I've said before, this is at odds with the actual teachings of Jesus. But Reverend Benjamin Creamer has a brilliant response. He said, Christianity in the United States doesn't need more political power. It needs less arrogance. It needs less entitlement. It needs less animosity toward those who are different. Christianity in America needs more humility. It needs more generosity. It needs more compassion and understanding. And there are few passages in the Gospels that more powerfully teach this lesson. He said, if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you too must wash each other's feet. And I've given you an example. Just as I have done, you also must do to even Judas. I see this as a call to be a healing presence in the world. Because what the world needs now is love. Are you ready?